Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. And we pray that you will help us to praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, as Karen's already said, this is our last week of the Psalms in our church for this year. And we're about to conduct a new series from next week onto Easter called Behold Him, where we're going to be picking up different images of Jesus in the New Testament that we don't always consider so much. We might in passing mention some things like him being the great high priest, but we don't think about it much. So we're going to pick up some of those other images leading up to Easter. That's where we're heading. But back to the Psalms, as you will remember, if you were here, earlier in January, we did do the longest Psalm, Psalm 119, all 168 verses of it. Do you remember? Yeah, wow. It was something different. There were all sorts of alliterations, as you would have seen if you read that booklet, from the Hebrew alphabet, where every character of the alphabet in Hebrew had eight verses. Each of those eight verses collectively had a slightly different theme, but all, in a sense, based around the word of God or the law of God or the statutes of God or the commands of God. It was a really good psalm to be thinking about. It was long, right? It's a long psalm. And so probably that's why it gets overlooked in church circles and isn't often read in a whole like it was originally intended. Well, for quite the opposite reasons, our psalm today, Psalm 117, probably gets overlooked, but probably because it's so short. You think, well, if it's short, it can't be good. Well, actually, we know that that's not true. There's some awesome short verses in the New Testament. Jesus wept. So it actually doesn't matter how long a psalm is, but I don't think Psalm 117 has got that much attention. I've certainly never heard a sermon on it. But today we have some wonderful things to get out of this psalm, even in its shortness. Well, friends, today's psalm, it has... Anyway, when we get the psalm up there, you'll be able to see that there's only two verses, and it starts with exhortations, so an exhortation to praise the Lord and then to extol the Lord. So there's two exhortations that are asked to be done to two different types of people, one to the nations and one to all the peoples. And then there's two reasons as to why this should be done, because of God's great love and because of his great faithfulness. And then it finishes really with an exclamation where the psalmist does what he tells what the other people to do. Well, friends, in a soft voice, just above a whisper, let's read this psalm together. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, verse 1 starts. This is Hallel Yahweh, or Hallelujah is how it would be read. Praise the Lord, Hallelujah. We've heard that lots and lots of times, haven't we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. You think of that when Palm Sunday was happening, when they would say hallelujah. We've got some kids' songs at church that we sing every now and then that hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. And it goes on and on and on. Well, that's how this psalm starts. Praise to God. Praise is something in our life that at times we're slow to give. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm slow to give praise, though many of us are good at giving praise to younger children, like when they take their first steps. We're like, oh, yes! We quick to give praise then. But then there's other times that we're slow to give praise. When we get older, we keep to ourselves often when we see something good done. I remember just the other day, though, my Charlotte, she had able to shoot and get the basketball into the basketball ring. And me and the boys pumped her up. Go, Charlotte, that's so good. What a wonderful thing. And in praising what Charlotte had done, it made us more joyful. Same thing happened yesterday. We went to the cricket, just seeing a local little game, and one of our friends that we were watching did something really good, and me and the boys, we were just sitting in our car, we were just like, go, go, that's so good. And as we were excited for what this person had done well and showered praise, it actually lifted our spirits too. This is the effect of praise. When we look for the good and say, isn't that good, it actually lifts our spirits too. The psalm starts, praise the Lord. And I want to tell all of us and remind us all again today that when we praise the Lord, we are rightly stating that he has excelled, that he has done all things well, that he is right to get our acclamation. And as we praise God, the effect will be that it encourages us too and lifts us up. Praise is the right thing to do, and praise is a good thing to do. I don't know about you, but after I've sung a good song that is praising God, I feel lifted up. And I pray that as we worship today and praise God, that that will be the case. Now, the psalmist tells the nations to praise the Lord, which seems a bit weird. Like it would sound weird to say, Australia, praise the Lord. India, praise the Lord. Cambodia, praise the Lord. Because a nation, as far as just the title of the country, it can't really do it. So obviously, it's really saying groups of people. The groups of people in the ancient world that gather together as a collective. The psalmist wanted them to give praise to Yahweh. The collective groups of people, and then the next bit, it says, extol all you people. So he doesn't want just the big groups of people, but also the individual peoples to praise the Lord. He wants everyone in the world to give praise to God. However, I think the psalmist would know that not all nations do give praise to God, but he's wanting them to, and the psalmist knows how much praise God deserves, and he's wanting to rope everyone in, telling them all to praise the Lord. So that the end of the first verse where it says, extol him, it actually takes praise even further, because extolling is actually enthusiastic praise, not just praise, but enthusiastic. So he's really trying to nail a point home that he wants God to be praised today. That's his first point. Now, ladies, in a normal voice, can you say the psalm together? Praise. Verse 1 outlines what to do. Praise him. Extol him. Verse 2 gives the reason why. Because of his great love towards us, and his faithfulness endures forever. Fair enough. The psalmist knows how good God is, that his love is towards them and he is faithful. Now, you may have heard those words before. If you'd been reading the book of Exodus recently, if you had, you might have picked up this similar saying in Exodus 34, after the people had been brought out of Egypt and they'd been given the covenants. And as Moses was having God appear before him, that when God went past Moses, this is what God said of himself. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. Abounding in love and faithfulness. Do you hear the echoes of that Exodus reading here in that psalm? Well, from those days early in Israel's history, when the people were rescued and they had just received God's name, Yahweh, he had been saying to his people that his love abounds and his faithfulness goes on and on. And the psalmist wants to point all people, not just Israelites, back to this and for us to praise him for this truth about God, him being loving and faithful, was still true. The people of Israel, when they were first told of God's love and faithfulness in the Exodus, they had seen his almighty deliverance from the hand of Pharaoh in Egypt. And they had seen the power of the plagues in Egypt and the deliverance through the Red Sea. Then they were given the covenant that God would be their God and they would be his people. They had a fresh memory that God loved them and he was faithful. But the psalmist here, those centuries later, wanted to reaffirm that what was true at the Exodus was still true then. And it is right to praise God. Now, we don't know exactly when this psalm was written or what other acts of deliverance or faithfulness the people of God at that time had seen. But what we do know is that the psalmist is confident in this love and faithfulness. Now, men, in a normal voice, can you read the psalm, please? Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Well, brothers and sisters, God does deserve our praise. He is truly loving and faithful. It was true at the Exodus. It was true when the psalm was written, and it is just as true today. We, though, don't just have the Exodus or the return from exile to show God's love and faithfulness. We have an even greater example to see that we can lift our praises to an even higher level. We have a new covenant with God, where God showed the extent of his love. You know these verses well. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. In Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we were not redeemed from the hands of Pharaoh, but we have been given a different deliverance from the power of sin and death. And we in this new covenant have been given the Holy Spirit of God to dwell within us. In 1 John 3, we're also told, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are." We can praise God today all the more. He is still faithful and will always be. And in Jesus, we see the extent of his love. Now, did you notice in our gospel readings today that Jesus was being liked? In fact, they're going, "Oh, is this Joseph's son?" when he went back to his hometown. And they were really excited about what Jesus was saying until he pointed out that in the time of the famine, that the only person that the prophet went to was someone who was outside of Israel. And so too in the time of leprosy, when there was leprosy in the land, that the prophet only went and healed Naaman, again, who wasn't an Israelite. And it was when Jesus said that this salvation can come not just to the Jewish people, but to those outside, that they turned and were upset. Well, one of the remarkable things that God has done in Jesus is that he has made it so that people like us who were outside of the people of Israel can come under into the family of God and in the household of God. And so too, we now, as part of the nations, can praise God. And the one last thought I want to leave us with is the picture in the book of Revelation where every tribe and tongue and nation, there'll be people around the throne and where they will be praising God. And this psalm will be enacted fully in the future because of all that Jesus, the Lamb of God, has done. And now the church's task is to be bringers of this news, like the psalmist was, that God's love and faithfulness in Jesus is great and unending. Well, brothers and sisters, as we finish our time of hearing the word today, let's stand together and with a full and loud voice say this psalm. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us, and faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. God be with you, friends.